theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing today, Quinn?
Good. How are you, my love?
I'm very, very good. Thank you very much. So much for asking. I am actually having a great day, and I'm looking forward to having a little discussion about a concept that I was introduced to a while ago, but it's always kind of stuck with me for, I don't know, even into this current moment, wondering what the heck are we doing with our lives. And I wanted to talk to you about getting your perspective on it and what your thoughts are as we're trying to help our friends succeed in their goals as well.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get your thoughts on this too. So we're talking about today the concept of FIRE.
FIRE, financial independence, retire early. And it has been quite trendy, I would say, in the last probably 5-6 years, something like that. And I read a book on it recently, not too recently, but a year or two ago, called Welcome to the Frugal Woods, something like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and it basically is breaking down what FIRE is from a perspective of an individual that's actually experiencing it through their lifestyle and worked really hard to get there. Oh, it was called Meet the Frugal Woods. I was close. Frugal as in, you know, they're kind of cheap. And, you know, that could be a good thing because they accomplished their goal. And so what is FIRE? Financial independence, retire early. Let me just kind of summarize it for my grandma.
Perfect.
So if you want to retire early, the approach to achieving this is by investing 70% of your income. 70%, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But if you do so, they're saying that you could retire as early as within your 30s or in your 40s rather than having to wait until you're 65. And what they suggest, the general suggestion, is that you basically take all your earnings and you put the 70% of them into some kind of mutual index fund like the S&P or a VTF, something where you're going to get a significant, consistent amount of money back per year. And on average, like the S&P, you can see, if you look at, you know, for the last few decades, there's consistently at least 4% growth if you look at the overall average from decades in the past. And so you're predicting that in the future, it will continue to be around 4%. Some years will be better, some years will be lower, but you can pull out 4% of your earnings from that index fund, and then you're going to live off of that 4%. And so then it just replenishes year after year after year. And then you're essentially able to do what you want to do and work on what you want to work on. And so the goal would be to figure out what your annual spending is and then calculate how much you would need to have saved in those index funds in order for you to have that amount be 4%. So for example, if you're living off of $40,000 per year, you know, food, rent, all those expenses, then you need to have $1 million in the index fund.
Right.
Now, if you're living off of $80,000, then you need to have at least $2 million in the index fund. And it's a very interesting idea. It's a very interesting concept. Some individuals end up moving abroad when they kind of get this all set up. There's a really cute family that lives in Portugal that has this set up that they left America and they're fully embracing their new lifestyle in Portugal, and they got a great home out there, and they're able to continue to pull the 4% from their funds and live a very comfortable life and then also do whatever they want. So the retiring early, I've yet to really see any individuals that literally do nothing. Everyone's doing something else, but they're doing what they want to do,
right?
Which is kind of the more interesting thing. So in Meet the Frugal Woods, they chose to live in this house in the forest in a snowy area. It's like, sounds really beautiful, a little bit more rural, but once they were able to get the house and able to get it all set up so they could only pull the 4%, then they were able to do other projects such as writing the book that they created called Meet the Frugal Woods, or create a full website or a blog so others can follow them on their journey. And I do kind of think, you know, in some ways it sounds really appealing, but other times I'm like very aggressive, like, no, I don't want to retire. I want to keep going. I'm already retired, you know. And
yeah.
I just want to talk to you about your thoughts on it as you know, the world's different. Like, why do you got to wait till you're 65? What are you going to do with all the money when you are 65? You can go play golf? What's your plan? What's the grand plan, you know?
Right. Well, I love this concept simply because I think that it forces young people to think about, I mean, we don't like to think about retirement. We don't like to think about when we're older. But the truth is like, if you don't have a plan in place, then just you can figure it out later, I guess. And actually, the time to invest for your long-term growth is as young as possible. I mean, that's, we've talked about this, about compound interest, right? The earlier you start, the more compound interest is on your side. And I think that's kind of the overall concept of, like, you know, the basically investing 70% of your overall income into ETFs or index funds, basically mutual or mutual funds too, so that you actually are putting that away. And it's a long-term investment. It's like a buy and hold kind of a thing, but it's very safe. Like, I mean, relative to just selecting your own stocks, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to play the market game if you really have no idea how to do it. I mean, even just to, I mean, right now going into the stock market, I mean, it's hard to figure out how best to invest your money, right?
So this when's is kind the of right time to buy.
Yeah. So it's really a very, like, kind of low risk strategy to get long-term gains over time.
Yeah, it is an interesting concept because it does remind me of, like, some of these stocks, you can end up, rather than purchasing them at when you think it's at its lowest point, you could have it automatically purchase that stock on a weekly basis or bi-weekly or on a monthly basis. And therefore, it kind of takes out of the guessing game of when's high and when's low because no one can predict the market.
Yeah, that's called dollar cost averaging.
Yeah. And so if you're looking at the FIRE, the standard FIRE strategy, it is kind of similar where if you are putting 70% of your income away into one of these funds, it's not like you're holding it in a bank and you're waiting for the market to drop and then you drop it all in. It's something where they want you to set it up where it's an automatic no-brainer. You got your check for the month or every 2 weeks. Boom, take 30%, put into your checking account. 70% of that, just drop that straight into the index fund.
Yeah.
And I think the one aspect of this that I wanted to really spread out with you in this discussion is the FIRE, the standard FIRE strategy is not a one-size-fits-all. And there's a lot of different ways that this can be broken down. And I kind of wanted to have more of a discussion of, like, maybe what it is that we view would be most fitting for us or maybe for our listeners as well. But for example, it doesn't always have to be an index fund. I think that you could take more of a riskier approach perhaps, and then maybe get more into the real estate game. And then you're only, you know, living off of the difference between the mortgage and what you're getting in rental income or, you know, and if you acquire enough, then you're able to capitalize on that. But it does have a lot of tax advantages if you do pursue a route through a FIRE strategy, because long-term capital gains, those can be taxed at a really, really low rate and as low as zero if you're making less than, what is it, like 88% per couple or something like that.
So
it can really, really be beneficial if you do it right. But what is the best strategy? Do you think it's better to have more than one investment? I mean, is it just the best way is just go with the one that's almost guaranteed? I mean, an index fund in the stock market, it's probably the most consistent one and the least riskiest one of all that's able to give you that type of a return. But I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, do you think it's better to put your eggs in multiple baskets? How would you go about this?
Definitely. Well, I mean, I think an index fund, obviously, it kind of already diversifies and hedges your bets because it's basically a group of businesses, you know, in an index, basically, so that someone else has managed.
S&P is what, the top 500 most successful companies on the stock market at the time?
Yeah, but I think that the truth is like, again, yes, on average, I mean, if you're going to make a relatively low return, but if that's enough for you to sustain a lifestyle that you pull only 4% out each year, then that's good. But I do think, you know, if you're younger, you can afford to risk a little bit more than just that. So to me, at least in my eyes, well, I mean, we're not anywhere near retirement age. I mean, I think once you're like, okay, you and me are different. We don't want to retire, but some people do. And so if like 65 or 60 is your age, that number, by the time you're that old, you don't really want to have to worry about high risk investments that might just blow your entire, you know, retirement account essentially. Yeah. So when you're younger, you have the ability to say, you know what, I've got a longer time until to continue to make more money over time. I can risk a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So it's all based on your own risk level. I mean, why not? If you really, really love Tesla, then okay, go for it, you know, but that's up to you. That's up to you and your due diligence to ensure that you do that. Yeah. Now there are other ways too, to, I think the key is to diversify your investment portfolio. Mm. And I love
this is your advice. I mean, this is the customized own. Gwen fire strategy.
Well, I think that, look at how many different ways you can invest. There are so many different ways. And everyone just thinks about like the stock market. It's easy, you know, mutual funds, indexes. I mean, some people bonds. Think about, bonds. Some people think about commodities and stuff like that. But what is the one thing that you can control probably more than anything else when it comes to investments? I mean, at least in my eyes, I definitely think real estate is one of those things. Mm-hmm. So if you can afford to get into real estate, especially if you're not doing it, like I'm not saying go and buy your own house. Like that's, once it's your own house, that's a liability.
Yeah.
Read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Okay. Yeah. You need to know the difference between an asset and a liability.
And the only investments are assets. Liabilities are essentially expenses.
Exactly.
And you can only make your house into an asset if you're making money on your house.
Exactly.
So if you're living in your house, but you rent it through Airbnb, now it's an asset.
Exactly.
But if you're not renting it and you're just living in it, congratulations, it's a liability.
It is. It's only an asset after you sell it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all it is. So
that also could go quite the other way too, you know?
Yeah.
Because you have no control of where the housing market's going to go.
True.
But what you do have control of is something that you're able to capitalize and make money on while you own it.
Right.
That's kind of where we're looking at with, you know, stocks. If you're going to do stocks, you want to be able to get dividends, or the 4%. If it's getting 4%, you're pulling out 4%. So it's like you're able to capitalize on that. That's a true asset.
Well, the thing about dividends is that's where compound interest really starts to become super beneficial. You start saying you have to have dividends where you're not doing anything and it's making you more money just by you having an investment into it. Yeah. Now, just like, you know, the world of the stock market has lots of different ways that you could invest into it. Real estate does too. And I think most people think, a single family home. Like right now, when we're talking about the real estate housing market in the United States, when they're saying the prices, it's a seller's market. Like the prices have never been higher than before. They are not talking about multifamily homes. So there are different categories of real estate. You can do commercial.
Gotta do your due diligence.
You can do commercial, right? You can do a commercial is like stores, right? You know, like little shops and stuff like that. It could also be huge apartment complexes. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other thing for another time. But I think there's also multifamily homes, which is basically you have a unit, like a housing that has multiple units, and it has to be under five units within that. That's a multifamily home.
Yeah. And you can live in it and then rent out the other parts of it too. And there's so many different ways that you could be doing this, whichever is most advantageous to you.
Exactly. And then there's single family homes. And now when you're hearing about the price rocketing right now in the housing market, it has to do with single family homes. And this is where we're talking about. This is where you got to do your due diligence of like, there's this different strategy for a multifamily investment than there is with commercial, than there is with single family homes.
So I think in general, when we're talking about the FIRE strategy, you're emphasizing that you believe that it's important to also have other assets such as real estate from getting you some passive income through rentals to enable you to retire early potentially.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of work. It's a lot more work and time investing into making sure that you can get that residual income on a monthly basis.
But you do feel better, a greater sense of control.
Right. Yeah, you have a lot more control than how the S&P 500 is doing.
Right.
I mean, you have to kind of create a portfolio that you're most comfortable with, where you have some risk, maybe you have lower risk than others. I mean, where is your money actually going and how is it going to build more wealth for you long term?
Yeah, compound interest is pretty central. I think that another thing that we need to break down is our own understanding of retirement. I mean, first off, we've never retired before. And we have quite a few friends who have success and family members who have successfully retired. But what does retirement mean to you, Quinn?
Oh, good question. You know, I'm going to ask you the same one after.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Okay. retirement to me, God, this is a hard question. Means I can do whatever I want, whenever I want.
Yeah. Okay. That's well said. Yeah. I was going to say basically the freedom of your time to work on whatever projects, because retirement to me does not mean not working. Retirement means to me working on what I want to work on.
Yeah.
Having a better sense of control of my time.
Yeah.
And see, you can actually achieve the FIRE strategy at multiple levels, depending on kind of your own preference of how you want it to fit your lifestyle.
Right.
And so one different aspect that they're talking about is one in which you don't have a full-time job, but perhaps you have different ways of making money, but the timing of when you work on those projects and which projects you choose to take on, that is within your control.
Mm.
But with that income you're making from those projects, you're still doing the 70%, 30% type of game. And therefore, you're achieving that at a younger age. But at the same time, you're not having to give up the full amount of control in order to get a much bigger salary immediately. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
And so that's one way of doing it. But at when I look at that route, I'm also trying to envision, you know, what is the best? And I think this is how we believe, like this is our own personal perspective and on how we view ourselves. We believe that the best investment we can make for ourselves is into each other.
Yeah.
So our own ideas or our own time investigating something. And maybe we're wrong, but if that's what we believe, then we're going to forfeit getting high paid salary job in order to ensure that the majority of our time is invested into projects that could be that home run hitter.
Yeah.
I'm trying to play baseball here.
Yeah.
And these the unlimited pitches, but I want more pitches. I want more time at bat to be able to swing. And so therefore I'll do whatever it takes to ensure that I have the most amount of time to do so, which may mean, you know, I'm not having filet mignon tonight.
Yeah.
Or I don't need to have sushi buffet every single day. But what I do need to have is I will eat cereal every day if I had to, in order to allow me to work on entrepreneurial endeavors forever. But that's because I don't really care. It's just cereal and it's just food, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it all depends on what's going on and kind of where your brain's at. And you do have to have a certain amount of money to be able to get to that level where you can have that kind of freedom. But I do kind of feel that is a side strategy of the FIRE technique to retire early.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Agree with that. I think that what you're describing is delayed gratification, essentially, right?
Yeah.
You're saying I'm willing to sacrifice in the short term so that I can be better off in the long term. And well, I think that the earlier that you do that, the better off you are. I mean, this is the truth is like anyone can do this at any time. You do not need to be making a six-figure salary here in order to set yourself up for that. If you're in your early 20s right now, if you do some of the things that are, you know, about that the FIRE method lays out,
mm-hmm.
if you do that early on, you could set yourself up by the time you're in your late 30s where you really don't even need to work for someone else. And that's kind of an amazing concept, right?
Yeah.
I mean, most people when they're in their early 20s aren't even thinking about that. Mm-hmm. They're like, I want to achieve the most in my career. What career path am I trying to go on?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff. I'm trying to meet someone. I'm trying to get married. I'm trying to maybe have babies. I'm trying to do all these things. And you're not really thinking about how do I set myself up so that I actually can do what I want earlier in my life.
Yeah.
Right?
So in that sense, it could be argued, and I'm playing devil's advocate. We have a lot of listeners. They can play devil's advocate too. Well, they could say, well, couldn't it be possible that you, by choosing to have that autonomy earlier, you are not delaying gratification. You're getting that gratification immediately. But once again, it all depends on what your belief of your value of your time is. What do you think is the most beneficial thing for you to be working on? If you feel that your value of time is calculated accurately with a salary paid job, then you should 100% go for that.
Yeah.
But if you feel like my value could be something that's work, you know, I always like kind of got weirded out when I had like coworkers or colleagues that were able to pull in like $100,000 or $300,000 a year. But conceptually, I was like, you know what? There are human beings who create something and then they're pulling that much in, or $500,000 in a month.
I know.
And that's something that I don't think that they could really comprehend or think about too much, or maybe they chose to ignore it. But I think that I would rather play the game for that type of an opportunity versus the, you know, safety net of just getting a standard salary.
Yeah.
But it all depends on what your personal belief is on the value of your time and what you think you're worth and what you value the most. And for us, it's the time that we get to invest into new and greater and bigger opportunities.
100%.
And I really do believe in that, maybe for better or for worse. We shall see.
Well, I think that it really comes down to our fundamental belief of, well, first of all, I mean, labor is not the key to wealth. Okay. Your labor, what you get paid as an employee, is most likely on its own not going to lead to you accumulating a greater sense of wealth. You're not going to create more wealth.
Mm-hmm.
It's taxed the highest. You're not keeping the most.
Yeah.
And really, so what you're trying to do with the FIRE method is, okay, regardless of how much you're making based on the value of your time that this company is saying, here's how much I'm going to pay you per hour, mm-hmm. or whatever you have a salary, that you want to take that and you want to take that and invest it into something else. Because if you just let it sit around, it's not going to do anything for you.
Yeah.
That's not going to allow you to get to the place that you want to be money-wise later down the road, especially if you're wanting to, you know, retire, whatever that means to you.
Yeah, so that's a good point. So if retirement to you means you literally want to go play golf and eat steak every day, you know, or something where you're really not able to make more money from that type of an activity or lack thereof, then 100% go for the salary job. But if you're going to, when you're going to, quote, retire, spend all the time working on new projects and new investments and creating new assets, like in Meet the Frugalwoods, them writing this book and then creating a blog and developing a community that they can capitalize on people from joining their clubs or whatever, you know, expansion, but it's their own project. Then if you believe that's going to be more financially fruitful than what you've created with your salary job, that annual amount, then 100% you should figure out how to get to doing that sooner and what you're willing to sacrifice to enable yourself to get in there playing the game much quicker than you would than having to wait till you're 65.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that one of the things I was trying to say also is that there's a limit on your ability to acquire more money if you are just working for someone else. If you're just working for someone else, you're basically, you're just getting paid for the labor that you have been contracted to do, right?
And well, you could get bonus and you could get a pay raise, but there's still...
Again, those are taxed at, like, it's not what you make, it's what you keep.
Mm, good point.
More than anything else, okay? And so I think with this whole method, it's like, what are you going to do with the money? Are you going to spend it on a bigger house for yourself? Are you going to spend it on going out to eat every night? Mm. Are you going to keep up with the Joneses? What is what you're... And when you're young, you don't really know. It's like almost like the sense of like, oh my gosh, I'm making money now. This is amazing.
Yeah.
But really, if you can focus earlier on, and it's okay if you're in your 30s, like that's an early time too. Like it's fine. Whenever it is that you start making it click in your brain that the money that you get in, you have to do something with.
Yeah.
And it's got to be something else other than buying the coolest car, the latest gadget, and all that stuff. If you can really start focusing on how do I make this asset that I am acquiring, this money that I'm acquiring, how can I actually make it grow rather than just go away after I buy things?
That's a good point.
That's a huge deal.
That's a good point, because it is a clear differentiation between retiring for the aspect of gaining time and retiring for the aspect of gaining money to spend on liabilities versus getting money to spend on more assets. And depending on what your long-term, what is your definition of retirement, depending on what that is, that should set you up to understand what is the best move for you currently to achieve that. And for some, perhaps they love their job and they feel some sense of I feel complete by having this career, and therefore they don't want to retire at 65. They want to keep going as long as they possibly can. But I do think the financial independence aspect is important too, because you don't necessarily have to retire, but to know that you're choosing to go to work.
Yeah, that's huge.
Not because you have to go and make the payments on your mortgage or on your car or whatever, but you're choosing to go to work for some other motive beyond that. That still is within the fire, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that, you know, it all comes down to you and what you want. And if you found a job that, even regardless of how much it pays you, you just love, you found mm-hmm. purpose in it, that's yeah. amazing. I think what we're really saying is, we're not necessarily talking about like following your passion or your dream. We're talking about how you can really organize the assets that you are acquiring, right? Yeah, money. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. How can you best manage those things so that eventually those things are working for you in a way that allows you to create and forge the path forward for your life later on. And it's all about financial independence. We talk about how money is just a tool. Money is just a tool to allow you to be able to free your mind of worries, mm-hmm, right? Of various different things. It allows you to go after that dream idea that you wanted to build since you were like 15 years old. Like mm-hmm. whatever it is, you want to gain that independence. Independence, you got to feel, money can empower you if you treat it right. I mean, you actually create a system that allows it to work for you.
Yeah, I think one other aspect that I wanted to bring up before this concludes is the FIRE strategy. One thing that it's naturally emphasizing is that you're putting it into something more safe. And I do think that it needs to be established that you're evaluating your own sense of risk. The key is to be able to be at bat, to be able to play the game. If you lose all your money because you risked it all on one specific industry, or you didn't spread it out enough. And one could argue that if you're in an S&P index fund, you're not spread out enough. But the truth is, an S&P is mixed of 500 other stocks. So it is already essentially mixed. But the whole point is for you to be able to risk what you can and acknowledge that the rest is play money. So if you're going to do that strategy, you should only do 4% of pulling from it. And then if you can, use some of that 4% to invest into other things as well. Yeah. And so it really is a bit of like, how much can I bet without losing all of it where I'm out of the game? You know, like if you're at a craps table, you don't want to lose every single dollar you have, and then you have to borrow money from the casino. Yeah. That's the worst situation. So you need to know how much you can actually bet on high risk versus low risk versus minimal risk. There's nothing that's no risk. And then kind of play with that and then figure out what's your best strategy to fit your goals. And for us, it is investing our own time into the balance of due diligence and action to enable us to pursue, you know, something that's significantly impactful on the world.
Bam. Well said, my love.
I don't know.
You know, I think that really we wanted to talk about this and share it with you all to try to like just put a little bug in your brain. Like, you can empower yourself with the tool of money. Do not think of money as something that it's like, oh, I can buy new fancy stuff, I could do this, this, or that. Like, really, if you want to empower yourself, it is important, and got to do due diligence.
Got to do it.
Right?
You have to.
Diversify your portfolio. Don't throw it all into one thing.
Yeah. Figure out your own FIRE strategy.
Yeah.
I do recommend you.
Good point.
If you felt a sense of connection from what we were saying and you kind of agree with a little bit of what we're talking about, you can just type in FIRE strategy, financial independence, retirement early will pop up if you type in financial independence, and just start reading a few articles about it. But don't look at it as a one size fits all and one size fits you. Think about what it is that you want to achieve, and think about how maybe a few alterations to your life or a few changes can help you get there sooner than later.
Absolutely.
You only got one life. You know,
you can
only see so many sunrises and sunsets. So we want you to see them from wherever you want to see them from. And in all honesty, money could be the tool to help you do so.
Yeah, you can definitely, you just get out there, guys. Learn about it. You know, if your money's stuck in a savings account, just see how much it's growing on an annual basis.
It's not good right now.
It's probably not that great. So, you know, check it out. Look into it. We are so excited that you guys tuned in. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you have a moment, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out a lot. And we are so excited that we get to talk to you again tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
See you then.
Thank you all.
Bye.
enjoyed this journey through sound.